Chapter 1, if you have your Bible with you, let me say thank you, preacher, for letting me come by every now and then and being so kind to me, allow me to drop by. I'm glad to have my wife with me.
Amen.
A few days, me and her have been married for 46 years. That's pretty good, ain't it? 46 years. And she's had it made for 46 years. Just ask her. Been a real walk in the park. We got one son, one young, and he's our pastor. That's a blessing. He's 43 years old, pastor Faith Independent Baptist Church in White Pine, Tennessee. Anyway, the Lord's blessed him abundantly there, and we're glad to be members there. I do a prison ministry. I've been doing prison work for 34 years, and I tried pastor Baptist Church for 10 years. I give up and went to jail. You know what I mean? I just give up. Hallelujah. Some of them survived, and I've survived, so it wasn't all that bad. But anyhow, thank you for letting me come and be part of the service. I'm not going to say anything tonight that you don't know already. A little simple thought, and maybe the Lord will help us with it. Yes. And we pray that he does, and hope if he don't get in it, we got enough sense to shut up. Amen, you know. Sometimes I don't have enough sense to hush, amen, and I'm a little nervous here. I drank one of them cappuccino things. You know what I mean? If you can't get the Holy Ghost on, you drink one of them. That'll help you. Praise God, I tell you. You feel like Superman before it's over with. We'll see how that goes. Amen. I don't know. Some of you ain't got no sense of humor, I can tell by looking at you. It ain't a sin to grin. Amen. You know what I tell you? Need to smile when you can. You live long enough, you'll see a few days you can't smile. You wished you could.
Yes, sir.
I'm glad that when I'm able to. A few times in my life I've been where it was difficult. It's hard to smile when your heart's broke, but anyway, the Lord's been good. And I don't take the things of God lightly. I try to just be myself, and I try to have a good time on my way, don't you?
Yes.
Here in Galatians chapter 1, the Bible said in verse 1, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. And all the brethren which are with me under the church of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ and another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and will pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach another gospel unto you than that which repeats you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel than that which you receive, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brother, that the gospel which was preached to me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name, Lord, for traveling mercy, for letting us get here, for the open door of this dear brother. Trust us, been a friend to us, Lord. We ask you now that you'd use us to be a blessing and a help. Lord, those that's come this way, and then also, Lord, our desire is just to be pleasing to thee. We ask you to be able to let us do that tonight. In Christ's name, amen and amen. This is all very familiar portion of Scripture here, and amen. But you know, the Apostle Paul, we all know that before he got converted, his name was Saul of Tarsus. He persecuted and wasted the church beyond measure, being more zealous of the traditions of his father. He hated Christianity, but God struck him blind in Acts chapter 9, and he got saved, and he became the great apostle to the Gentile world. If you're not a blood-born Orthodox Jew, you're a Gentile, and if you're saved, you're a descendant of this man's ministry. Amen. I'm glad he said, Lord, what would thou have me to do? I'm glad he did what the Lord have him to do. He wrote at least 13 books, most likely 14 books, the New Testament Bible. I'm not smart enough to debate it, so don't confront me with it. I don't like any kind of criticism, constructive criticism or criticism. Keep it to yourself. I can't take none of that stuff. Amen. How am I doing right there? Amen. These girls right here are saved. They're laughing. Hallelujah. Amen. But anyway, here, the truth of the matter is, he said, I marvel that you so soon removed me and called you the gospel of the grace of God, and another gospel, which is not another, but there'd be some that would trouble you and will pervert the gospel of Christ.
Yes.
Though we are an angel from heaven preaching the gospel, that which we preach, you let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach the gospel, that which you receive, let him be accursed.
Yes.
There's a double curse on anybody that would add to the gospel of the grace of God.
Yes.
We all know tonight, everybody here knows the gospel is, according to 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, is that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, that he was buried, and on the third day he resurrected according to the scripture.
Yes.
You have to believe it according to the scripture. If he got run over by a chariot, you couldn't be saved. If he got hung by the neck, couldn't be saved. If he got shot through with a dart, you couldn't be saved. He had to die where he died, when he died, exactly how he died. It was foreordained before the foundation of the world how he was going to die and where he died. Amen. We sing that song, when he's on the cross, eyes on his mind. I like the song, but it goes further back than that. Somewhere in eternity past, in the triumph counts of a holy God, God, amen. They didn't have to search all over heaven to find somebody to go. God had a perfect plan before he made man. Grace before his guilt. He already knew. You can't hardly grasp all of that. That's just his business. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I do not want to be guilty of perverting the gospel. If you add anything in front of it and then believe in it, that's a perverted gospel. If you add anything after believing to stay saved, that's a perverted gospel. I do not want to be guilty of perverting the gospel. Amen. And there's a lot of folks, a lot of religion, majority of them around here, that pervert the gospel. Amen. And I'm sure that some of them just confused and really been saved and been misled by some simmon head guy don't know nothing about anything. But truth of the matter is, you know, up home, I'm sure you have them here. You take the Church of Christ. Somebody said, you ought not call my name. If I was a rattlesnake about to bite me, I'd want to know what kind it was, wouldn't you? But you know, they teach baptism regeneration. The blood don't wash your, wash your sins away till you're in the baptism pool. Then if you're not a member of their church, but you can't join the church, you got to get baptized in the church. If you've been baptized, you got to forget that and get baptized in one of their preachers. Amen. And then you have to take communion with them every Sunday or you'll go to hell. And amen, they preach sinless perfection. We know that's a lie. Ain't nobody in this building ain't sinned this week. How am I doing right there? Amen. 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 And then they teach that if you've been married and divorced or remarried, amen, you have to, only way you can get to heaven is leave that second wife, go back to that first man. I got news for you. I don't know where you're going, but you pull that trick, one of them women going to kill you. Hallelujah. Amen. Truth of the matter is, aren't you glad you know the truth about the gospel? You're not in the dark. Amen. Wouldn't that, then they're not sure you're going to make it even then. Wouldn't that help you on a dark, gloomy day in a deep valley you're going through? I'm glad I know the truth about the gospel. Amen. So we all know this stuff. It's not by the water by any means. And when I was a boy, I believed the gospel before I knew what the gospel was, but I didn't know what it meant. Amen. When I was a boy, my dad moved up to Cleveland, Ohio. I live up here in East Tennessee. Moved up to Cleveland, Ohio in the mid-50s, amen, to get a job. And we lived in the inner city of Cleveland, Ohio. You could call it kind of like the hood. Amen. And about every city block, 3 or 4 city blocks, there's a large Catholic cathedral. Amen. And all my friends were Polish, Hungarian, Italian, a bunch of Puerto Ricans. And then you put all those hillbillies in there, you had a real multicultural mess. You know what I mean? I wasn't anything. My family wasn't anything. We was just rank heathen. But them boys, every now and then, they taught me into going to that Catholic church with them. Amen. And back then, the priest spoke in Latin. Nobody could understand it. See, they want to keep everybody in the dark. Amen. And then back then, if you was a Catholic and you visited a non-Catholic denomination, you was excommunicated. You was doomed and damned for hell forever. So you're not going to do that. Same thing Jehovah's Witnesses do. Amen. Amen. They're not allowed to come to no Baptist church. And they're not allowed to read your literature. They want you to read theirs. Amen. You're not to bid them in your home. Bid them Godspeed. Because they're antichrist. They're the enemies of the cross. You don't have to be mean to them. But you know what I'm saying. Amen. Where was I at? There, I got a little mean on that one, but truth of the matter is, and I'd go with them, amen, I'd go with them, and them boys was meaner than I ever was. Amen. And I'd go with them. And back then, they'd go in and dip their hand in what they call holy water, do that little deal they do. And they bow down to a statue of Mary. Amen. And, you know, most of them don't even know what they believe. But to get to Christ, you have to go through Mary. To get to Mary, you got to go through the priest. You got to go confess your sins to a knothole, to probably some child molesting pervert on the other side. Back then, they openly admitted, 58% of them admitted being sodomites. Amen. That's the truth. Yes. Just look it up for yourself. Amen. Truth of the matter is, they go to the confession, and we've done some mean stuff as kids. And I'd ask them, I said, "You tell that priest what we did? Are you crazy, Epps? Telling that stuff, you have me put in jail." Truth of the matter is, I'm glad I'm not caught up in that. Then you take that little wafer they eat, that becomes the flesh of Christ. And they drink that wine, and most of them are winos, and that's why they do all that perverted stuff. Amen. They say that becomes the blood of Christ. That is an abomination to God to teach such thing. Well, I'm glad I'm not caught up in the water, and I'm not caught up in the wafer. Amen. And God knows I ain't trusting any work. We're saved unto good works. Amen. If you're saved, you're saved unto good works. Amen. Not by any work, but you're saved unto it. Build in when you get saved. I might have picked the wrong message, but I'm too far into it to back out now. Aren't you glad you know the simple truth about the gospel? Amen. Amen. You know, I've even been around some Baptist preachers that almost want to say you got to be one of them to be saved. You're crippled too high for crutches. Amen. Man ought to sue his brain. It ain't working. Hallelujah. Truth of the matter is, it's him. He done it all. He done every bit of it, every bit of it. I do not want to be guilty of perverting the gospel. Amen. And you know, this book's a book about him and what he did for us. There's all kinds of pictures, type, shadows in the Old Testament. You go back to the first man, Adam. I believe God made the first man, Adam, of the dust of the ground. Amen. Formed him with his own hand, breathed the breath of God, and did not become a living soul. I believe that. I didn't understand it until I got saved. Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He cannot understand it. The natural man receiveth not the things of God. Amen. Neither can know their spirit discerned, neither can know them because their spirit is discerned. You can read this Bible, you know the historical facts, biblical facts, but you don't know the spiritual application to it until God turns the light on. And you go back to Adam there, and the Bible said it's not good for man to be alone. So God did surgery, an operation on Adam. Amen. He put him in a deep sleep. You ever had a medical procedure where they won't know if you want to watch it? I do not want to watch nobody cutting on me. Hallelujah. Put me in a coma, wake me up when it's over. I don't want to see it. But you know, God did an operation on him, same thing he did to us. And he opened up his side by the hand of God. And God reached down through the blood and got a rib. I brought that rib up through the blood and made Adam a helpmeet. That's a same way you and I got in by operation of God, by the hand of God through the blood of Christ, and now we're part of the helpmeet, the church of the living God. Amen. I'm glad I got in. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, we see Adam's side, and then he put Adam and Eve in the garden, told them they could eat of any tree of that garden, but the day they ate of the tree in the midst of the garden, acknowledging good and evil, the day they ate of it, they're going to die. Well, you know, the serpent, which was the devil, came to Eve. I believe he was standing on 2 feet then. He beguiled Eve. And she ate of that tree. And when she ate of that tree, she gave to her man Adam. And he ate of that tree. And when he ate of that tree, both of them's eyes were open. They knew they was naked. That proved they weren't Baptist folks. They were naked. They knew they were naked. Hallelujah. I'm not going to park there. Amen. Because I know your preacher preaches on that stuff all the time. I'm going to have a little mercy on you. Hallelujah. Amen. But the truth of the matter is, you know, and the first thing they started doing they'd never felt guilt and shame before. They'd been clothed in the glory of God and innocence, but soon as they sinned, soon as they went against God's authority and his word, and they ate of that tree, and it wasn't an apple, most likely it's a fig, but who cares? Truth of the matter is, amen, they sewed them some fig leaves together to try to take away the guilt and the shame. That's just a picture of man's works trying to appease God. Amen. No matter how high you stack them, you're just filthy rags in the sight of God. Amen. And then the Bible said they heard the voice of God walking in the garden. It didn't say they saw him. You know, not saved by what you're saved by what you hear. Faith come by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And soon as they heard his voice walking in the garden, they went and hid themselves among the trees. I remember before I got saved, didn't know nothing about it. People talked me into going to church. I didn't know who the Holy Ghost was, but that preacher would get to preaching the Bible. I usually sat in the back, no offense y'all in the back, when I was lost, try to find me some fat-headed fella to hide behind, or some woman with a big bouffant hairdo. They don't have hairdos no more you can hide behind. The truth of the matter is, and those oak pews he said on, I'd try to hide. The Holy Ghost and the Word of God get to walking up and down the aisle. I didn't know who it was, but amen, something started bothering me. Amen, a guilt and a shame because of my sin. Amen, thank God for Holy Ghost conviction. Hallelujah. And then you know the story how God called him on the carpet. Adam tried to blame God for the woman he gave him. The woman tried to blame the serpent, but God held us. Adam responsible. We're all in his loins. When he sinned, we sinned with him. When he fell, we fell to the bottom with him. Amen. And I don't know exactly how it was, but as God was confronting them, about that time an innocent animal walking in the garden had anything, nothing to do with their sin. And right in front of both of them, God took that animal and shed its blood. Without the shedding of blood, no remission of sin. Bible said he made them coats of skin. Before he could cover them with that bloody skin, they had to shed them fig leaf Baptist works, if you please. Amen. That's exactly what God did to his own son. He slew the Lamb of God at Calvary. You and I could be clothed in his righteousness, cleansed by his blood. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God Almighty. It's all through the book here, a book about him and the picture of the gospel. Well, we looked at Adam's side. We looked at the animal skin. Even as a boy, I believe the stories. I'd go to vacation Bible school or some bus would pick me up every now and then or somebody talked me into going. I hear this story about this man named Noah. I believe those stories. I believe there was a man named Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I'm glad I found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah didn't have a plan, but it repented God that he'd made man because of the wickedness of man, and he told Noah that he's going to wipe out every living creature with a flood. Amen. Noah had never seen a flood. It never rained, as far as I know, and he told him, and the Bible said Noah, being warned of God of things not yet seen, moved with fear to the preparing of an ark. Real Bible faith to put the fear of God in you. That ark didn't save him. His faith saved him, saved unto good works. That's exactly right, and God told him how long to make that ship, how wide to make it, how high to make it, put three floors in it, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, put one window. Noah didn't look at the disaster on the outside. He looked up and he told him one door, no dimensions on the door. Everybody had to go through the same door. They say, how'd those animals know to get in there? Same way I got in. No man could come to me except the Father who sent me draw him. One day God just moved on him and they said, I believe I'll go over and get in that ship right there. That's exactly how I got saved. Amen. Bible said he pitched it with pitch on the inside, pitch it with pitch on the outside, seal it up. Amen. It couldn't go down. Nothing could get in. Amen. That's exactly what God does for you when he saves you. Amen. Then God told them to come into the ark. Then he gave them a few more, 7 more days. Amen. And those folks eating and drinking, giving and taking to marry, and they knew not till the flood came. They just carrying on with every day living like folks are today. Oh, Noah was a preacher of righteousness. He'd stop working on that boat or that ship every now and then. 120 years, they say, it took him to build it. Get up on that boat, get right with God. Judgment's coming. Same thing we preach every Sunday. Get right with God. Judgment's coming. And folks just carry on today like it don't mean nothing, but judgment is coming. Thank God Almighty. I'm glad I got in. Amen. That's a picture and a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody in that ark went up when judgment come. Everybody wasn't in the ark, went down to hell. You better get in if you ain't in already. I didn't have to understand it. I just had to get in. Amen. I'm glad I got in. Amen. Well, we looked at Adam's side. We looked at the animal skin. We looked at Noah's ship. And then in Genesis 24, the Bible talked about Abraham. We all know he's a type of God, the Father. He sent his servant. They say his name was Eliezer. That's a type of the Holy Spirit, and sent him out after Isaac, who's for a wife for Isaac, who's a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he found this woman named Rebecca. She's the type of the church. She wasn't going that well that day to get married. She's going to draw water, like the woman in John chapter 4. He went down there and sat on on the well waiting on that woman. She'd been married five times. Can you imagine being married five times? My brother was married three times. If you put all three of them women's brain in the box of dynamite, wouldn't blow the fuzz off a piece. I'm glad I struck with the one I started with. Hallelujah. Ain't we having a time tonight? I don't know if that fit right there. Just like saying mean stuff like that sometimes when I ain't getting no help. Amen. And the Bible talks about, he said, if this be the woman, have her draw water for me and my camels also. And that woman drew water for all 10 camels. 15 to 25 gallon, depending on your read after. That's a lot of hard work, amen. Amen. You know what's wrong with a lot of folks in our church? They got a 9-camel religion. They ain't went all the way with the Lord. And then he put some trinkets, gold bracelets and trinkets on her ears. Amen. That's a sample of the wealth that belonged to Isaac. Amen. Everything that belongs to Christ belongs to us. Amen. Just a little sample. Hallelujah. Am I doing any good right now? And then he went home. With her. I'm glad the Holy Ghost will go home with you. Amen. He'll bother you. You know, preachers get discouraged. Sinners come and they leave unsaved. We don't know what the Holy Ghost is doing to them during the week. I know when I was under conviction, I didn't tell everybody about it, but the Holy Ghost got to bothering me. I didn't know who it was. I got miserable in my sin. I got ashamed of my life. I got sick of being filthy and dirty and ungodly. Hey, you don't know. The Holy Ghost has to do the job. Amen. We can pump and prime and beg them to come. We pluck them green. The Holy Ghost don't pluck them green. Thank God Almighty. And then they said, will you go to Rebekah? They said, will you go be with this, go with this man? No questions asked. Amen. No questions asked. The day I got saved, I had no questions asked. I didn't understand it, but I said, I'll go. She'd never seen Isaac. I've never seen the Lord, but on the authority of the servant sent out from the Father. Amen. I've been on my way that way for 50 years. Thank God Almighty. Amen. And I think about it, you know, on the way, sometimes riding those camels of grace, Rebecca might have got a little nervous when the sandstorm got to blowing and all those thieves in that part of the world that time. She probably got a little scared. You ever been a little afraid since you've been saved? See, it's not my responsibility to get me to him. That's the Holy Ghost's responsibility. And I'm sure he's put his hand over on her when he saw she's afraid. He's a comforter. He's not a Baptist preacher. He's a comforter. Amen. And he'd tell her, hey, don't worry about it. I got this. We're just about home now. Just about home. Just over another hill. Round another curve. We're going to see him. Thank God Almighty. We're going to see him pretty soon. Well, I'm glad I said I'll go. Hallelujah. Well, we see Adam's side. Animal skin. Noah's ship. Abraham's son. Exodus 12, God told Moses to tell the children, take up a lamb on the 10th day, and on the 14th day to kill that lamb, catch his blood in a basin, amen, and dip hyssop, which is a type of faith. It was available to anybody, amen. Take that grass-like plant and dip it in that blood, put it over the door and on the doorpost, and when the death angel, judgment, come through Egypt, he's going to come through here not too long, amen, this world, amen, under judgment, amen. He said, well, I see the blood. Not where I see a Baptist, not where I see a Church of God, not where I see a Methodist, not where I see a Presbyterian, not where I see a holiness, and the rest of them ain't got a chance. Hallelujah, amen. Had another tender moment right there. Amen. Truth of the matter, when I see the blood, I'm going in because of the blood. When I got saved, the blood of Christ washed my past sins away, my present sins, all my possible sins away. God imputed his righteousness to me. When he looks at me now, the way he sees me, I'm just as righteous as his son Jesus Christ himself is because of the blood that Jesus Christ shed. Thank God for the shed blood. Numbers 21, I'm trying to hurry here, I'll be done in a minute. Amen. Numbers 21, the children of Israel seem to forget how God brought them out of Egyptian bondage, got to complaining and murmuring and bad mouthing Moses and bad mouthing God, crying around like we do sometime. Seem like you would never forget how God opened up that sea. Amen. 2 to 3 million people walked across in one night. Somebody said they'd have to walk across 5,000 breasts on dry ground. Can you imagine that sea roll back like jello? Little old kids putting their finger in there when they see them fish and everything going across. Think about it. Amen. They seem to forget. He let that sea come back on Pharaoh. That's what God did when he saved us. Everything was trying to destroy you. God drowned that mess. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And then they forgot and they got to complaining and murmuring. God heard them. Sent fiery serpents among the people. And the serpents bit the people. Much people died. Amen. They got to bad mouthing Moses. You got to watch how you bad mouth God's man. Amen. How am I doing right there? Bible said, we're to know them that labor among us and over us and the Lord and the Master, to be esteemed them very highly in love for the work's sake. I was up, Brother Barry Philbeck's one, I heard Brother Philbeck one time, a good friend of mine, preaching, and you know, he got a pretty good sized church like y'all do, and had an assistant pastor, and this might not fit here, but I'm going to say it anyhow. Hallelujah. Amen. And one day, talking about respecting the preacher, you know, one day the phone rung, and assistant pastor answered the phone and said, can I help you? He said, yeah, I need to speak to the big dog. He said, the big dog? Yeah, the main hog at the trough. He said, buddy, we don't refer to our pastor as the big dog or the main hog. What do you want? He said, well, I've sold some land. I got $20,000 I want to give to the church. Hold on just a minute. I'll be the big pig. Just come in. Hallelujah. How am I doing right there on that? Some of you ain't going to smile no matter what. I'm telling you, this is a tough crowd. Some of y'all, the reason I'm in the prison is I pastor some of this. Am I doing any good? I don't know if I am or not. That's just a little feeling there. He said, the people went to Moses, repented. Moses went to God. And God told him to make a fire serpent, a bracelet put on a pole. Everybody been bitten. All they had to do is look at the serpent. They didn't have to climb the pole. They didn't have to touch the pole. They didn't have to do nothing. And Moses lifted up the serpent. And will even so much the Son of Man be lifted up. Whosoever be him shall not perish but have eternal life. Right. All you have to do is look. As he said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Just have to take a look. Hallelujah. 2 to 3 million people, depending on who you read after. Some is probably right under the pole. Like some of y'all have been brought up in church all your life. And you heard Bible truth from the time you was born, like my boy, time he was born. In church from the time he was born. Only time he ever missed when he's sick. Pump that Bible in him. And he's 15 years old. My son is 43 now. When he's 15 years old, all that truth, both eyes open. That's it right there, dude. That's it. That's what my dad and mom have been telling me. Both eyes open. Clear as crystal. But some of us was way back in the pack. Some had been bitten, no doubt, sooner than others. So the poison, the serpent's poison, we all had that poison in us. But some of us, the poison had done a lot more damage to us than some others. Am I making any sense here? No doubt some back in the back didn't even think it. Their faith wasn't really strong. They probably tried a lot of remedies, home remedies, patching up. They didn't even have a lot of faith. You don't even have to look with both eyes open. Just take a peek. You don't have to understand. I didn't understand. I got saved. I didn't even know what I was doing that morning at church. I didn't even know what was going on, to be honest with you. I just know that I was sick of the poison.
That's right.
Yes. I was sick of the booze and dope in my arm and up my nose. Sick of it all.
Yes, sir.
I didn't even wonder if he'd even save a bum like me. I just took a peek that morning. I just looked out, just wonder if that really will help me. Hey, just take a look. Hey, just take a look. It'll work every time. Well, we looked at Adam's side, the animal skin, Noah's ship, Abraham's son, the shed blood. We looked at the serpent. Genesis 22, Abraham, God told him to take his son, only son, Isaac, sacrifice him on the mount. Can you imagine, do you ever think about that? How that must have been. I got that one son. I can't imagine. I can't imagine. It scares me to think even something could happen to him. And I got two grandsons. I just can't hardly grasp taking him up that mountain. told them servants, he said, we're in the ladders going yonder, but we're coming back. Going up that mountain with this boy. He said, here's the wood, here's the fire. Where's the sacrifice? Abraham said, God will provide himself. That's exactly what he done in his own son. God in the flesh provided himself a sacrifice. He's the only one that could satisfy the holiness of God was himself. Amen. Well, we looked at the sacrifice. Then I'm going to quit. We all know about Mephibosheth, 2 Samuel 9. Well, Mephibosheth, David said to Ziba or Ziba, however how you want to pronounce it, who's the type of the Holy Spirit, David's type of God. Is there any of the house of Saul that I might show my kindness through for Jonathan's sake?
Yeah.
Somebody said, I don't know why God saved me. He saved you for Christ's sake.
That's right.
That's the only reason. He said, yeah, there's a boy named Mephibosheth. He's lame and crippled in both feet. A woman dropped him. A woman dropped us, Eve, involved in her fall. He said, yeah, he's down in a place called Lodibar, a place of barren, dry, no refreshment, just a miserable place to be. And David said, go fetch him. For alliteration purpose, he said, go search him. Go find him.
Yes.
Oh, Mephibosheth wasn't thinking about going to the king's house. He had a death sentence on him. Amen. A new king took the throne. He usually wiped out the seed line of the other king, keep him from trying to rebel and give him any trouble. So he had a death sentence. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He wasn't thinking about going there. He was afraid that they was going to get him. Laying there in that filth, no doubt unable to take care of himself because of his physical condition, spiritually speaking. Amen. We couldn't take care of ourselves. We're just filthy.
Yes.
Amen. If he had been thinking about going to the king's house, he couldn't have got there because he was crippled. And now, you know, we pumped this up, primed this up, maybe that way. And I don't think David sent a mule down there after him. I think he sent his best chariot down there. Amen. And no doubt, you know, the ruckus in the streets of that miserable place. They probably said, what's a king's chariot doing down here in this place? And he probably heard them talking and wondering, the king sent him down here to get me and kill me. Amen. You don't have to I didn't know what was going on there. I got saved. Amen. But thank God, I'm glad he come search, got me. Amen. Come and fetch me. Amen. I'm sure he's sprayed and the door slung open and that servant picked him up, dirty clothes and all. That's how God saved me the day I got saved. He didn't tell me to go nowhere. He said, come unto me, all ye laboring heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly heart. You'll find rest for your soul. God knowed I needed rest. And I'm sure as he loaded him up in that chariot, he still wondered, what's going on? Are they going to kill me? What's going on? About that time, they got to the king's palace, slid that old boy's feet up under the king's table. He still had a crippled condition, but the king couldn't see it no more. Hallelujah. Sitting there, and the king said, hey, you can eat at my table all the days of your life. You got to get sick of eating at the hog pen. I've been eating at the king's table for 50 years. Thank God Almighty, I'm glad he came one day and picked me up, fetched me, took me to the king's house. Well, he searched me out. Amen. Well, you got 2 Kings chapter 9, you got Naaman the leper. We all know leprosy is a type of our sinful nature. Bible said he was a man of valor, an honorable man, a great military leader he was. But he was a leper. There wasn't nobody, the poorest man in that part of the world, wouldn't trade places with him. Because of this disease, there was no cure for outside a miracle of God. There's no cure for your sin outside a miracle of grace. Amen. And this little Jewish maid, we all know the story. She's taken captive by the Syrian army. Amen. She knew Romans 8:28, for it was ever written, all things work for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. She knew that God in his sovereign providence, her name's not important. They don't give her name. My name's not important. But God had placed her in this sinner's home to have compassion on this, her enemy. There were enemies of the nation of Israel, the Syrians. Amen. And she waited on Naaman's wife. And Naaman's wife would probably weep. They probably treated her kindly in their home. And she was a slave there. And she'd see this dear lady, in my mind, probably weeping as she'd see her man slowly dying and that disease destroying his body. And he was going to finally fall dead in corruption. That's what sin does.
Yes.
You just die in your corruption.
Yes.
And she said, If you could get him down to the prophet's house. My grandma wouldn't, she was saved. She got saved and quit drinking moonshine liquor, her and my grandpa. She couldn't read the Bible. She was illiterate. She didn't know how to write. She didn't know how to, she couldn't drive. Little mountain woman wore dresses way down here near her ankle, buttoned up here. Early 1900s, she drove herds of turkeys across Clinch Mountain 25 miles to the market barefooted. She got saved. She loved me. No, it wasn't fit to love, but she loved me. And she got saved. She tried to tell me she couldn't read the Bible, but she met the author, the Holy Ghost. She'd go to church and she'd hear the preacher preach. Go out in the highways ahead of Capellum, came in my house, maybe field. She'd do all she could do to get me faith come by here, and she knew if he could get me down there under God's word. Yes. And she used to say, I said, Ma, what do you mean get saved? And she'd get so frustrated. And she said, if you just come down there, a preacher can tell you. He can make you understand. Yes. He knows what the Bible says. She said, just quit that wickedness, David, and trust Jesus. That's repentance and faith, ain't it? That'll get you in.
That's right.
So you got to respect God. She respected God's man. Will that make any sense here?
Yes, sir.
You know, Naaman got a letter from the king. He ran his coat. See, the king, the government's not the answer, but thank God for the president we got right now.
That's right.
I don't know he's a heathen, amen, but you didn't have no choice. Amen, you're going to vote for a guy that lost his brain and a woman never had one. Wasn't hardly no toss up to that, was it? It's pretty simple. I shouldn't have made that political thing there, should I? Let me leave that alone. Amen. Hallelujah. And finally, old Naaman, he got this pompous mess. He was a wealthy man, pulled up in front of Elijah's house. Amen. Thinking he's going to impress the prophet. People think money impresses a prophet. It might have TBN 700 Club, but it won't really a Bible preacher.
That's right.
Amen. And old Elisha didn't even go out. He sent his servant Gehazi out and said, you go out there and tell that rich leopard what I've been telling all these poor leopards. Same message. Don't make no difference what side of the tracks you're born on.
That's right.
Drink your booze out of a martini glass at the country club over here, a brown paper bag up under a bridge, sleeping in a ditch. You're just a filthy sinner. Said, go out there and tell him to dip seven times in the Jordan River. Old Naaman got mad. I used to go to church sometimes, laws, they'd make me mad about how mad a preacher would. He'd plow my corn a little bit and get me mad. I said, who's he think he is?
Yeah.
Old Naaman thought he'd come out like Benny Hinn. Read it, it's in there. You got to read between the lines, it's in there. Hallelujah. Them crooks been around ever since time started, amen. That's right, amen. Some of y'all must have sent them some money. Send a little money to Joel Osteen lately. I spent 30 days in jail just to slap that idiot. Amen. Hallelujah. I had a tender moment right there. Praise God. What was I doing? I met the message. My wife's going, amen. And then he didn't like the method. He said, what about these two rivers over here? You got to come God's way. For alliteration purposes, we're talking about this man's sickness. He's dying from his sickness. And then the Bible said his own servants, I don't know, must have been believers. And just to paraphrase this, they really were saying, what you got to lose? You're going to die. Why don't you at least try it? Just try to do what the man of God said. Obey his word. There must have been believers in the crowd. And he went over and dipped seven times in the Jordan River. See, that water didn't cleanse him.
No.
The blood cleanses. But if you just keep them coming, we'll keep dipping them in the water.
Yes.
You don't never know. They might come up about the seventh time saved, amen. Yes. And the Bible said his flesh become like a little child.
Yes.
That's what he does for us when we get saved.
Right.
It's just as if we'd never sinned in his way of thinking, amen. Yes. Thank God, amen. I'm glad he fixed my sickness.
Yes.
I'm glad, thank God for the gospel. I just ramble on too much, but I'm done. Have you ever really just trusted the gospel of the Lord? Plus, minus, nothing. It's him and him alone. I'm a Baptist preacher. I wouldn't be anything else. You don't have to be one to be saved. You got to be one to be right. You find something closer to what we believe, I'll join it with you. Amen. It's just But that ain't got nothing to do with it. The day I got saved, I knew absolutely nothing about none of this stuff. I didn't know one Bible verse. I didn't even know how to pray. It's just not you praying so much, it's you believing. I actually got saved sitting in the pew. I believed and repented before I knew what repentance was. 1974, the month of November, walked to Fairview Bible Baptist Church in the town where I live at 11:30 on a Sunday morning, not knowing what I was doing there, just miserable in my sin. Had hair down on my back. Can you see me now? A pair of bell-bottom breeches with patches on. T-shirt with a peace sign on. Me, Nixon, and the Pope, groovy, you know. What an idiot, amen. Just doing what sinners do, amen. I was weeping when I went in the door. Didn't know why I was weeping. Conviction. My grandpa and grandma went there. My grandpa was being tough as shoe leather. When I was 14 years old, he was drunk on moonshine. I sashed him and shot me with a shotgun, 12-gauge shotgun. Left me laying a patch of woods up behind his house. I never did sash him again. That broke me from sucking eggs, you know. When long after that, him and my mom visit Fairview Bible Baptist Church. When they come home that day, threw the liquor out the door, put the shotguns up in the closet. Something wonderful happened to them. And I watched their life. And their life, they weren't super saints, but they had enough God to convict me. Make me ashamed. And I walked in, that old man been shot in the face himself, had one eye and a gold-plated tooth. And when something really touched his heart, that tooth would shine. And when I walked in, he was weeping. You ever saw him weeping? Something really had to move him. He was tough. And that tooth was shining. I sat down next to him. He's weeping. He patted me on the leg. Said, "Dave, we're so glad you're here." I said, "I'm glad I'm here." I didn't even know why. But old preacher Winston now on heaven now, he said, got done preaching. He said, "Would anybody? I've been around church long enough. They didn't have to sing three sad songs by the Do Right Quartet to get me to move."
Yeah, that's right.
"Would anybody, like to come?" And I fell out of that pew. Fell on my face, about 40 people praying all around me. They'd stick 45 Bible verses on my nose about the book of Daniel and book of Revelation. What would that mean to me? Amen. I knew I was a sinner. I knew he was a savior. I was sick of my sin. Won't turn from it. Amen. I didn't know how to pray. Somebody said, "You pray the sinner's prayer." I guess I did. Every prayer I ever prayed was a sinner's prayer. What did I know about sinner's prayer?
That's right.
You come down the Romans Road? No, I drove down Marguerite Drive. Hallelujah. Amen. I've been on my way to heaven ever since that day.
Amen.